Team. Well, this morning, I want to pick up where I left off a couple weeks ago. And just as a reminder to you, just the start of this year, in fact, I was kind of praying and mapping it out. It'll probably be till like the end of May. But I just want to spend this season walking through just some of the practical ways that we can mature as Christians, that we can grow. And we're called to mature. Amen? We start as little babies, infants in the spirit, and we're called to grow. And the Bible talks about that in different ways. It talks about going from drinking milk to eating solid food. And we, if you've had kids, you know how that goes. And it can be a struggle. The struggle's real. But it's also a joy when they start to be able to feed themselves. And so anyway, I don't want to get too off track, but we need to grow. And that's the call. That's the way we're designed to be, is to not stay the same. But our hearts are open to the truth of the good news of Jesus. We receive the gospel. All right, we receive the good news that Jesus died for us, that we can be free of our sin, that there is eternal life, that we can actually know God personally. And so we're invited into this relationship. And then that's just the beginning. Many times we think of that like, I've arrived. I prayed the prayer. I got fire insurance. But that's not the point. The point is that we grow in this lifelong journey of faith and walking with God, and it is a journey. And it is like we learn to surrender, we learn to obey, we learn to give our life, to die to ourselves, and say no to myself, my own desires, my own flesh, and say yes to Him. Amen. And so we talked about that a bit 2 weeks ago, and talked a bit about how fasting is one of those tools that helps us just bring alignment in our life, and it helps us to draw close to God. And we talked a bit about, got into a little bit, just about how, you know, fasting was something you see all through the Bible. We saw Jesus saying that when you fast, not if you feel like it once in a while, because we all know that nobody ever feels like fasting, that I know of. It's never fun. You know, you're denying yourself. So it's usually not something we feel like doing, right? But we are denying something, not just to go on a diet, all right? Not just to cut something out, not just to be like, look at me, I didn't eat today or I didn't watch TV, but to seek God. And so if you're just cutting out food for the sake of saying I'm fasting and you're not spending that actual time seeking Him, well, you're on a diet, good for you, but don't call it fasting, you know? And it's, if you're gonna go on gossiping and filling yourself with garbage with what you're watching on TV while you're cutting out food, don't bother. The point is to set things aside that influence you, to push things aside that have a hook in your life and say, I'm getting all this stuff that brings me pleasure or I like or it brings influence, and I'm taking time now to seek God. And so, you know, we got into a little bit about, you know, there's food fast, there's social media fast. Whatever God leads, we can get really religious about some of that stuff and think it has to look like this and it has to be, just ask Him. And don't make it a thing where, you know, it becomes this legalistic thing, but just ask God, God, when do you want me to fast? How often do you want me to fast? It was part of their culture, and I think it should be part of our life as a Christian that we take times and seasons where we just set apart part of our life and say, Jesus, I am really pressing into you right now. And maybe even for you, it might be when you recognize that there is something wrong in your spiritual appetite. When you're struggling to walk with God, when you're feeling like, you know, I'm allowing things in my life that I normally wouldn't, that I'm okay with sin or I'm tolerating something there that I normally wouldn't. And it should be a red flag. And you know what, God, I need to get close to you. And sometimes that's when we fast. Sometimes God just asks you to. My mom, I think I shared this story, and if I didn't, I'll share it now. But my mom, years ago, when I was not living for the Lord, felt like God called her to fast for me for 40 days. I don't imagine that was very fun, but she fasted and prayed for me for 40 days, and it was at the end of that 40 days, I had an encounter with God that changed my life. And so when He calls us to do things like that, we need to obey. And that, again, it's just part of maturing, part of growing. I don't think God calls us to fast for 40 days all the time, okay? Thankfully. Sometimes I think about fasting, I think I'm fasted eating. I fast from, you know, whatever, 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night till 7 the next morning all the time, you know. But no, it's a relationship, amen? It's just walk with Him. It's not religious, it's not legalistic. It's God, I want you. The heart of it is humility and surrender. God, I want you, I want all of you in my life, whatever that looks like. And so I read this scripture with you last time, Matthew 16, 24 and 25. And it says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The Message, I like how it puts it. It says, you're not in the driver's seat. I am. And how many ever have felt like, I want to do it my way, and I'm going to do this how I feel like it? And if we're going to get to know God, if we're going to grow, we have to say, Lord, what do you want? Amen? All right. We fast to be near to Jesus, to be in his presence. Fasting is a longing for his presence in my life. I want him to permeate everything, every area. I want him to be with me, and I want to be aware of him when I go out shopping, when I go to work, when I go to hockey, whatever I might be doing. I want him to be with me. I want to sense him with me. I want to be aware that God is speaking and actually have that friendship, that relationship. Maybe you've never even thought of it that way, but God has designed us to walk. The Bible refers to it as abiding with him. So we're actually called to be close, to have this relationship. And that's what you're invited to. And you might say, well, I'm not there. That's okay. We all start somewhere. I'm not where I want to be. I can tell you that for sure. But what I love is that God is faithful. And as I set apart my life and say, Jesus, I submit to you. Jesus, I surrender. I want to put you first, more than all the busyness, more than all the demands of my life. I want you more than anything. And as I do that, he's faithful. And I begin to get to know him more and more and more. And that's invitation. And again, fasting is just a tool. It's something that helps us to draw close to him, to get our heart in alignment and to draw near to him. And so this, 2 weeks ago as I was preparing this message, I've been listening to fasting and prayer devotional online. And one of the verses this guy was using was Genesis 3, verse 9. And it's the story of just after Adam and Eve had sinned, and they're ashamed. And they're hiding. And the Bible says that you can hear God, they could hear God walking through. And they were afraid of him and his presence. And God is calling out to Adam, where are you? Where are you? And I heard that phrase, and it just like, sometimes you're reading a scripture. Well, in this case, I was listening, and it just like poof at me. And I was like, I just felt like God was like, Paul, where are you? And it hit me hard. I was like, God, I'm here. I'm here, but it's like I was trying to do some other stuff. I was thinking about other things, and sometimes we just try and multitask, and guys are really bad at multitasking, but you got to be present with the Lord. And I was just like, I just had that blaring in my head for the next few days. Paul, where are you? Paul, where are you? And I feel like, I just felt like it was a prophetic declaration to all of us that God is calling, hey, where are you? And not in a condemning way, but hey, I'm looking for you. I'm inviting you to come. I'm inviting you closer. I'm inviting you to know me more. Bud, where are you? Sherry, where are you? Rod, where are you? Like those, he's just saying, I want to be with you. What are you doing right now? And so today I'm not even going to jump into a whole bunch of scriptures today so much as I just hope, my prayer is as I was praying through this, just to kind of give you a picture of how it should look, how it should work a little bit with our walk with him. And again, last time we talked about how the whole idea of the influence of leaven. Remember, we talked about how Jesus flipped the tables, and that was in that season of the tradition when they took all the leaven out of the house. They removed it. And the idea of any kind of influence in your life, you got rid of it. And we have to be so careful of the things that are influencing us. And it's not that watching TV or looking at the news or social media is all terrible, but we have to be careful how much of that we're feeding ourselves versus the Word. And we have to be careful of even people in our lives that are very negative or gossiping or critical or judging or all that kind of stuff. It influences us and it influences our heart and our life. We have to be careful. We have to guard our heart. The Bible talks about guarding our heart, watching what we let in, watching what we allow to influence us. Because the invitation is, come, where are you? Come. But if I'm busy or allowing other things to dictate my life, I will not respond to him. 2 Corinthians 3 says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So you become what you behold. You're going to become what you're filling yourself with, what you're meditating on. If you are not getting close to God, you're not going to become like him. But we're called to become like Jesus, right? If the picture that we have in the Bible is one of intimacy and closeness and knowing God and hearing him and being led by him and so on, do you ever wonder if, you know, when we don't see God at work in our life, if we are maybe putting priorities in our life that aren't priorities to God? Do you ever wonder if we're getting distracted and focusing on things that maybe don't even matter so much to him? I'll be honest, Jesus didn't die for us to have the American dream. Okay? That stuff rots and burns. What he cares about is your heart and your soul, that you give your life to him. God is here, and his word says he never changes. Jesus is our Savior. He's our healer. He's our hope. He's our Lord. He's our rock. He's our fortress. But we have to come to him. We have to respond to him. And he's calling you and I today. Where are you? Where are you? Where's your life at? Where's your heart at? Where are you? He says, I made you for intimacy. I made you to be in my presence. I made you for relationship. And you know, we can choose to run away. It will be a struggle. We'll feel empty. We'll never find fulfillment unless we're in his presence. You can't outmuscle God. You can't manipulate him. But we're called to surrender, to die to ourselves, to give everything. One thing I've learned slowly, and I'm still learning, is that the faster I recognize when I screw up or do something dumb or get myself in a mess, the faster that I can humble myself and say, God, I blew it. I am sorry. And come back to him, the faster I can start healing, start back into a healthy place. The longer that I'm like, you know, it's human nature to, in a sense, it's our flesh, that when we mess up, we just want to ignore it and cover it up and be like, God will never notice that. You know, that was just a little thing over there. And we need to learn to run to him, to repent, to turn, and to give our hearts back again and let him wash us clean. And so sometimes even it's, again, that sense of fasting brings us to this place where our heart is like, God, I want to be aware of what you're saying to me, Holy Spirit. And sometimes the fasting even cleanses our conscience in that sense, because it brings back, it cuts out other voices. I noticed this last week, I can't even remember what I was doing. I remember noticing I was doing something and I heard the Holy Spirit say, why are you doing that? It wasn't even a big deal. I can't remember what it was, but I was just, I just do this all the time. But I felt like him correct me and be like, why are you doing that? And I thought, I haven't noticed that in a while. But I realized, you know, as you spend time with God, sometimes the things that we've been just tolerating, allowing in our life, we don't notice those little things that we're doing wrong, the little things, you know? We allow that stuff to sit there in our life. And if we ignore his voice, we just begin to mute that out. But when we actually respond and obey, he draws us closer. And as we're faithful in those little things, he entrusts us with more. And so if you want to grow, if you want to get to know him, if you want to hear his voice, then we have to start obeying those little things. Sometimes we're waiting for the big lightning strike to tell us, you know, I want you to go and split the Red Sea. And how about just responding to, I want you to get your heart right today. I want you to spend 5 minutes with me today. Anyway, as I was praying, I'm going to ask Colin to come. As I was praying, I just felt like God gave me this picture of how this relationship works. And so, I think everybody here knows what this is. If you just want to put that over top, yeah.
Don't.
Do it. I'm going to hold the end of this. All right, and Colin is going to represent God for a minute here. All right? And as a Christian, I have this freedom, because God does give us freedom. But the goal has to be that I stay connected to the Lord. All right? And so I can move around. I have freedom to do a lot of things in my relationship with God. All right? And still stay connected, still stay close. But if I allow things in my life, appetites, the world, starting to have a passion for whatever the world throws at me, I start to get further and further and further away, right? And it comes to a point where I have to either decide, God, I'm sorry and I'm coming back and I want to make sure my heart's right, or I just drop the rope and I keep going. And what happens is, if I decide to disconnect, I'm going to come into this place where there will be problems, because I'm living for myself. There'll be problems because I'm in the flesh. There'll be problems. What we see is pain in relationships. We see broken relationships. We see addiction. We see people that try and do it all themselves, and they live for self-pleasure and all that kind of stuff. And until we get to that place where, and again, God is faithful. He gives us the choice, doesn't he? I can turn around. I can come back, and I can pick up the rope, and I can come closer to him as I surrender my life and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've done. And stay connected. And again, there's a place of safety when we're close to God, that we can move around, do different things, be involved in different jobs, careers, hobbies, whatever. But as long as my relationship with him is first, I stay close enough that I live in this place where he's where we're in relationship. Right? Does that make sense? Okay, let's flip here for a second. So I want the loop. Now, this is illustration isn't perfect, but I hope it gives you a picture. Like, and so what happens is if I choose in my heart, God, I surrender in every way to you, and I'm making that choice every day. God, I want to abide with you. I want to get to know you. What happens is as I start to wander this way, oh, I really like that TV series. I should just spend all my time. I get to a place, right? I get to a place where the Holy Spirit begins to convict me, and he says, stop. And as I am trusting him, see, sometimes we make it to be so hard to actually follow God. But what we really need to do is just say yes to Jesus. Just to surrender to him all the time. To say, God, I'm putting you first. And then he does the rest. I don't have to change all my outward behavior to look a certain way out of my own strength or flesh. What I have to do is go to him. I have to go to the Lord. Colin's good too, you can go to him. But I have to go to the Lord. And then God is faithful so that as I stray, as I get into things I shouldn't, he begins to warn me. But it has to start with me saying yes to him every day, right? So every day, yes, God, I choose you. And then, yes, God, I choose you. And in all this whole area, as I'm staying close to the Lord and staying connected, I have freedom to do all these things he's called me to do. I don't have to worry. And then as I start to get off track, I'm anchored to the love of God. I'm anchored to his presence. And all of a sudden, there's a tug, right? There's a tug in our heart. There's a tug in our spirit. Don't go any further. Come back. Come back, right? Don't go anymore. Now, again, I have the choice to obey or to walk, right? And so that's, I don't know. I just had that picture. Thanks, Colin. I had that picture of, this is dangerous. I just had a picture of him giving me the old, right, when I took that off my feet. Could have had fun there. I hope that image burns in your mind. You have the freedom because of God gives us free will, which is a whole other message in itself, and it's a crazy mystery, understanding free will. Because he could have programmed us to be good and perfect all the time. He could have programmed us, just like they're doing with AI, to respond a certain way all the time. But he says, I want you to have the choice because I want you to be able to love. And if you don't have a choice, you can't love. Which means you also have the opportunity for pain and hardship. And so I'm not saying that if you're walking with God that you will never have struggles. But I will tell you that many, many, many times we avoid problems because we stay close to him. And he walks with us through everything that we face. We're not alone. By design, like we're called to pick up our cross daily, to deny ourselves. Not so that we can have a life, of not getting what others have, but so that we can have a life of being in his presence and in intimacy with him. It's not about what the world has. See, we so often are like, I wish I had that, I wish I had that. What he's calling us to is something better. But again, that's something we have to choose, to desire, to long for, to want. And so I have to stay anchored in a lifestyle of surrender, in a lifestyle of obedience, in a lifestyle of seeking him. So that when he's calling, because he is calling every day, Paul, where are you? Paul, where are you? That I am responding. God, I'm here. Yes, I'm available right now. Even though I'm busy, Lord, I'm doing things, I'm here. What do you want to do? Living outside of that design will cause us a lot of problems. Psalm 91, I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but If you have time, read it. It's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. But it starts out like this. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. But at the start there, it says those who live in the shelter. Those who dwell, as another version says. If I'm going to rest in the shadow, it means I got to be close. Like if Colin was standing beside me, for me to be in his shadow, I have to be near him. And we read some of that thing stuff and we go, oh, that's cool. But we miss the clause, like if you're in the shadow, if you're close, do you dwell near to him? Yes, last night we were invited just kind of last minute to some friends and neighbors. And, we spent the evening there and I just felt like we should go. I was tired because I had been in Frontier all day and I just wanted to pray and spend time getting ready for today. And I just felt like we should go. And it was amazing. I mean, I connected with a bunch of some people I haven't seen in a long time, but all live close to us. And I watched as they just did what the world does. And I remember I was sitting there and I was watching the whole kind of party unfold. And I thought, I love these people. There's absolutely nothing wrong with them. But God, there's just something so much better in knowing you. And then my heart turned to God, how do I help them? How can I be a light for you? And so I ended up staying there quite a while. And I, you know, again, just trying to be a light, trying to be a witness, trying to bring hope. And that's what we're called to do. And so I'm just so thankful. You know, the world has a lot of things that are fun, that look good, that can promise all kinds of things. But you guys, there's nothing better than his presence. There's nothing better than knowing him. There's nothing better than being secure in his love. And that's a choice we have to make. I hope this is getting through. So think about this. Whatever strengthens my spirit weakens my flesh. Whatever strengthens the influence of my spirit weakens the influence of my flesh. So when I obey God, the Holy Spirit in me gets more influence into my decisions, into my actions, into the way that I live. And if I'm disobedient to the Holy Spirit, he doesn't leave me, but he's grieved. And again, he loses influence. Why? Because he gives me free will to choose. And so the flesh doesn't just come and go. The flesh shrinks or grows. You following? And so, like, you can't cast out an evil spirit. You can cast out a devil. You can cast out an evil spirit, but you can't cast out you. Does that make sense? And so you're always carrying you with you wherever you go. Things like temptation. Like, I can't cast out my flesh. It's with me for this life. And it's something I'm going to have to learn every day to choose to have submit to my spirit, or I will not live for God. So temptation, for example, temptation comes, and it's not a one-time event, but it's a process. So usually if I decide to watch something I shouldn't or behave a certain way, it's usually because of a whole string of things that I've been dwelling on for the last several days. You ever notice that? Usually temptation is a slow process, again, because I'm allowing something to influence me. Have you ever noticed that when you watch a show with a whole bunch of swearing in it, all of a sudden, there's certain words just want to fly out of your mouth because that's what you've been filling yourself with. If you've been watching a show that's full of violence and killing, again, not that watching something like that once in a while, but all of a sudden you begin to meditate on, at least this is how I find it. I mean, I watch some war movie and I watch a bunch of them and all of a sudden my brain goes to shooting people, right? And it's because, not like, okay, that came out really bad. That came out really bad. But you start to play a movie in your head about violence. You get, follow what I'm saying? Not, oh man, that came out really bad. Jesus help. Yeah. But what you begin to meditate on begins to come out, right? And so we have to be careful. Part of putting into practice some of these spiritual disciplines like fasting is basically creating an alignment in our life, because we have physical bodies that have desires and cravings, right? And some of those things are natural and normal. They're there. But we also want everything around us that's of the world. Your flesh will always want to feel good every single day, even if it's totally not healthy. If you line up a buffet of food, everybody wants the dessert more than the vegetables. So fasting is an act of self-denial. And there's things, you know, if you want to, you know, one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. You want to grow in patience? Try fasting. It's like a trial run. You know, when I was in Manitoba pastoring there was a guy in our church. He built a full-on B-52 bomber, the replica. He bought all the parts from the States and he put the whole thing together. He had the cockpit, not the whole plane, but the cockpit in his house. Well, in his shop, actually. And so you could go in there and it was all powered. You could flick on every switch, everything lit up. And it was like you were sitting in the exact real thing. Huge. And you know, you can do trial runs. I mean, that's how they teach pilots, right? You get in these simulators and you fly, and they teach astronauts like that. And you know, a lot of things, in some ways, fasting is like that with temptation. It's teaching us to overcome. And you know, if you think you're having a hard time with something, just wait till you cut out food or cut out something and all the cravings in you are gonna start to scream, I want to eat. I wanna eat right now. And if you're struggling with patience, well, when you're already going without food, well, your patience level is really gone in those moments. But you know, if you can learn to walk in patience in that, you can learn to walk in patience all the time. And I would even say to parents, you know, one of the things that I really believe is critical as parents is that we actually teach our kids discipline. And you say, well, why? What's the big deal? If your child can learn to say no to things, to master some of their appetites at a young age, they can say no to so many other dangerous things later. But if they are always told that, yeah, go ahead, or if they put up a stink, I mean, everybody that's had children at some point has had a toddler in their house. and we all know that whether it's the terrible twos or the threes or the fours, wherever that hits, they decide they want to see if they can control you and get their way. And if I scream loud enough and complain long enough and bang something and have a temper tantrum, will they give in? And there eventually needs to be a parent comes in and sets things straight. And it's the same thing in our body. Your flesh will have a tantrum. I want this. I want to look at porn. I want to do whatever feels good right now. I want. It wants something all the time. But if you can learn to say no, if you can learn to have self-discipline, then you can stay healthy spiritually as you get older. But that starts at this age. It's much, much harder when you're older and you have to figure that out. Because all you've ever had is, yes, go ahead, all your life. Or I have a tantrum, I freak out a little bit, and eventually someone says, go ahead. So what you're setting them up for is disaster down the road. So fasting helps keep our heart on the treasure of knowing Jesus. I'm gonna invite the worship team to come. We're gonna take communion. And I want to take some time this morning I want you to take some time just to examine your heart. Talk to the Lord. Maybe there's stuff you know is out of alignment. Maybe there's stuff you're not. Maybe that you don't. But He's calling you. He's calling your name. Will you come? Will you come close? Would you grow? Would you mature? Would you surrender? Would you deny yourself? I was thinking the other day, you know, do you ever just daydream? Sometimes I catch myself when you're daydreaming about something, it always seems to want to go negative. And I was like, that's so dumb. Like, God, what do you want to do? And I was just trying to, I was just kind of thinking and praying, like, Lord, what would it look like for a church, for a group of people that were just full out surrendered to God, just set on fire, hungry for him, pursuing his presence above everything else? What would it look like to be a place where God's presence was welcomed, where we actually put his word into practice in our life, that we had faith and believed all the time instead of allowing fear to make choices for us? What would it look like if we were surrendered, if we were actually really worked at keeping our hearts clean, that we were ready and expecting to meet with God every time we walked in this place to gather together? What would it look like if, as a church, we spent time reading the Bible every day? And that we spent time in prayer all throughout the week, praying for each other, praying for the worship team, praying for the preacher, praying that when I come, that I would, my heart would be right and I'd be ready to receive whatever God was doing on Sunday mornings. What would it be like if we put time aside every week, and whether it was fasting once a week or whatever it might be, that we actually put time aside and said, God, I'm giving you my lunch hour, I'm giving you whatever time I have today to honor you, to draw close to you. I love you. I want to hear your voice. What would it look like if you prayed for someone who was sick or had a disease and they were healed? I was thinking about that and I thought, I wonder actually, like, have you ever tried that? I think there's some of us, maybe even, we just never even try. I'm baiting you because I want you to think about what is actually possible for me as a child of God. Because the Bible makes all kinds of promises. The Bible tells us that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells not in just your neighbor, but in you if you're a follower of him. And Jesus went around healing people. The apostles went around full of the Holy Spirit, leading people to Christ, touching the sick and the broken. And that's an example for us. What would that look like in your life? What would happen if the presence of God came so strong, like in Asbury recently, where they just were so impacted by the presence of God, where they spent hours, like we're talking 5 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, just worshiping on their face? What would happen in a town of 2,000 if 1,000 people wanted to come to this church? Because the presence of God was so strong and he was doing things in people's lives and the church was so alive and they were living it out every day, everywhere, that people saw joy, that they saw hope, that they saw family, they saw people being treated well and cared for. There was no gossip, there was no slander, there was no division. What would it be like if you heard God speaking to you every day? How would your marriage be different? How would your heart be different? Would there be room for despair, anxiety, stress, fear? Depression. See, what I'm describing, this is not out of the realm of possible with God. It sounds like a far stretch, and it is impossible without him. But have you ever just stopped and dreamed about what could be if you were closer to him? Sometimes we think, I got to stay this way. It's going to be like this forever. Who says? Keep going. That was good. You know that all through the scripture, God responds to faith. And so you might be sitting there going, well, how does this work? Well, believe. Step out. Start making that step. God, I want you. I want more of you in my life. Make that decision. God, I am committing to submit and surrender to you, whatever that looks like. God, I'm committing to making you first in my life. I'm committing to spend more time with your word. I want to cut out the influences in my life that are not healthy. I want my heart to be right. I want to forgive. I want to move on. I want to repent. I'm going to quit beating that over the head. I just really feel, I pray that you would get this in your heart. So we're going to sing a song. I'm just going to put these out here. And I encourage you, when you're ready, just come and grab one. And we're not going to rush. We're going to take several minutes, and I just want you to talk to the Lord. And maybe there's repenting that needs to happen. Maybe just you recognize in your life there's things that are out of balance, out of alignment, that maybe God has felt really, really far away. I just trust the Holy Spirit to lead you. He's faithful and he loves you. Just like Nisha said earlier, you take his breath away. You guys, he is not far. He might feel far because our heart has been far, but he's not far from you. And he wants us to grow up. He wants us to mature. He wants us to come close. And he's inviting us right now today to come near to him. And so I just encourage you to take a few minutes as we sing this song. Press in, ask God what he's saying. Ask him if there's anything in your heart, in your life that we need to deal with. And then just start to pray and dream God dreams. God, I would love to see my neighbors saved. I'd love to see my community transformed by your love. I'd love to see as a church, God, what we could do to help this community get to know you. I'd love to see what we could do to help those that are broken and hurting in our community. I'd love to see, God, would you show me my role, what I can do? Would you give me ideas, God? Would you give me ideas of how I could love my spouse better or my kids or my grandkids? God, that I can discipline them so that, to prepare them for the future. How do I instill these things in their life? Are you following? So let's just take a few minutes and do that. And then again, come grab communion. We're going to take it together at the end.